Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
I have a little tiny story to tell you.
I almost believe you. Go.
I want to start again, please.
No.
Okay. Go on then, poor listeners. I grew up in a household with a very hands-on mum. And when time came that I was having my own children, I asked her for a piece of advice. Now, just take this with a grain of salt because I don't actually, mum and I don't have a relationship anymore.
Do you even talk to your mum anymore?
No, she disowned me when I left my first husband.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it was really hurtful for a long time, but I can reflect on that now and understand she has some mental health issues and, God, this got deep all of a sudden.
I knew it wasn't going to be a little tiny story.
This was not where it was going. And so I don't take as much pain out of it as I used to. I used to take a lot of pain out of it. And there have been some really horrible situations, but I don't take a lot of pain out of it because it's not me anymore. You know, it used to be all about me, but it's not. It's actually her and where she's at in her head. So, no, I don't talk to my mum anymore.
Thank you for sharing that.
I'm lucky to have a good supportive dad who I think has been listening to the podcast.
G'day, Dad.
I know, right? Remember I told you I don't swear in front of my dad?
Oh, but this is a Fuck It Friday.
I know, and he never has sworn in front of me, and just lately he started to let a few go.
Oh, he's heard you swearing on the podcast.
I reckon he has. So if you're listening, Dad, it's time that we just get over this and say hello. How the hell are you doing?
What's fucking going on, Dad?
Yes, all right, back to my story.
After yes, I had your little tiny story.
Tiny story that was tiny, now we've hit 2.5 minutes. I wanted some advice from my mum and dad. I wanted their one piece of key advice. And my mum's one piece of key advice is actually still the best thing she ever told me. And that was to treat my children with a healthy dose of neglect.
Okay. Do you want to explain that one?
I do. So we were talking earlier about facing some hard stuff, right? And sometimes life's a bit tough. It's a bit shit.
Yes, it can be.
Okay. So I have a blended family, as we've spoken about on the podcast many times before.
Uh-huh.
And I've got two of my kids who've always been treated with a healthy dose of neglect.
Uh-huh.
And we have three stepchildren who have been, well, until I came into their lives, poor buggers, were very protected. And there is a distinct, now 10 years on, and they're all nearly all adults, there is a distinct difference in who they are as people and what they can and can't handle.
Mm.
And I attribute it to that one point. It's pushing my kids to do some hard stuff. So it's my, you know, when I've got this kid who breaks multiple bones, it's, well, what do you want? You know, mum wants you never to play football again, but what do you want? I want to play football, mum. All right, well, we've got to do the hard stuff to get there. And that means you've got to face up to every fear you have and run back on that field in 6 weeks' time knowing that you could break it again. But if you want to play, that's what you got to do. It's
so you're a hard ass.
I am a bit of a bitch. Are you surprised by that?
No, because I've worked with you for a while now. Yeah, okay. So neglect, not being like leaving them in their shitty nappy for a couple of weeks?
No, it's not.
No,
it's
just that sort of neglect.
No, and it's, I guess, allowing them to learn to make decisions for themselves.
What you mean, like live in the real world?
Yeah, but I feel that as a parent of, or in one shape or another, a parent of five kids, it's something that our kids are being shielded from.
Oh, I don't think we'd find anybody that disagrees with that listens to this show.
So my theory on that has always been, sure, I want to protect them and the hardest thing I have to do as a parent sometimes is step back and let them fail, but I've got to let them fail because if they don't learn how to fail, they don't learn how to recover.
Yes, I would have to agree wholeheartedly with you on that one, Coxie. And we would see, as our listeners would, this is going to sound like taking a swipe at the younger generation, And it kind of is, but not in a, not just sweepingly saying, oh, the younger generation is shit, right? Because I know some fantastic younger people than me that, just like there's some fantastic older people and there's some people in my generation that are friggin' useless. None of them listen to this show, of course. But that protecting them from everything and shielding them from everything seems to have become very, very prevalent with, I guess, our generation, Coxie, where, you know, we wanted to protect our kids from some of the stuff that we maybe experienced when we were younger that we deemed to be unfavorable. And I'm seeing this play out very badly for the younger generation because, and, you know, in some cases it's not their fault, or in a lot of ways it's not their fault. Their parents actually did that to them without their consent.
Yes.
Is, you know, they never let them hurt themselves. They didn't let them get scolded at school. They never had to go without, you know, they always got to wear whatever they wanted to wear and watch TV when they wanted and all that sort of stuff. Never went hungry. The sorts of things that perhaps yours and my parents and their generation and the generation before that went without regularly. Yes. And they were fine. They didn't die.
No.
Mental health is on the rise, as in, you know, mental health issues are on the rise despite the cotton wool marshmallow society that seems to be emerging, particularly in this country. So, yeah, I think... And you know what? It's a real human thing. I can't remember the term for it, but small, regular exposure to stress, to toxins, to cold, to fear, all that sort of stuff, does actually build strength and resilience and tolerance. It's like training your muscles, right?
Of course.
Pick up a weight, you put it down, you do that a few times, you actually get all these micro tears in your muscle and your body goes, ooh, we better make that stronger. So it builds more tissue.
Yes.
And it's exactly the same in our lives. But when you don't pick up the weights, you don't build any muscles, so that you just don't have the capacity to deal with it when it does come along.
So I've got two camps in my family. I've got the muscly bastards and I've got the real weaklings. And it's not, I don't think it was through choice for either of the children or the groups of children. It just sort of happened through parenting.
And I'm just going to sound like a miserable old bastard if I continue, so I probably won't. But, like, the number of people that can't drive a manual.
Can I please?
Yes, please. One of which being my ex-wife.
So, my stepchildren's mother can't drive a manual, and we've always had a rule that the kids have to have a manual license. I don't care if they never drive a manual again. They need to have the basics down on how to drive a manual car and legally be able to. So if the builder falls off the roof and breaks his back and the ambulance can't get there for whatever reason quick enough, kids can bundle him in the car and take him where he needs to be because the only car there is a manual. We've had this discussion a few times. Well, other people in our family don't think that way. And as a result, one of our children is going to end up with an automatic license.
Soft.
I know. That point got so intense that said child has disassociated from those manual supporters in our family. That's how intense that situation got.
I feel like there's this watering down or a loss of our broad capabilities. I have a particular personal issue with this when it comes to men, males, we're meant to be the protectors and the providers and the confident leaders. And I know more and more men that can't change a tire. They don't know where to put oil in their car. They don't know how to use an axe or a chainsaw. Or now, I value those things because my background is very much blue collar and physical capability. But like I did very, very well with academia as well. And, you know, I was like OP of one kind of thing, 985 T score for the oldies listening and, you know, university degree and financial planning qualifications. Like, I'm reasonably bright as well. And I think that's, I think that sort of thing is being lost where we've got lots of people who are very smart and can write code on a computer, and that's great because that's a part of society. But we also still, like, we live in a world that is very much born of the Industrial Revolution, where we drive cars. And, you know, it's helpful to know that if the dishwasher stops working or it's leaking water all over the floor, that there's a tap under the sink that you turn off to stop it flooding the whole friggin' house. Or that you don't, you know, light a fire next to a gas bottle. Like, it's just, I dead set saw a video on social media this morning.
I saw the same one.
Oh my gosh. Some moron welding on the front of their caravan right next to 2 9-kilo LPG bottles.
So tell me where it's going missing. Like, what's the problem here?
I think, so my very arrogant view of all of this is I think we're dismissing the value of a lot of those things as a society. And, you know, particularly Western countries and particularly here in Australia. And this sounds like the whole, oh, Australia's going soft and we're turning into a bunch of marshmallows. And you know what? We fucking are. I can't believe that someone wouldn't know how to change a tyre.
Mm-hmm.
Or even where the spare is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an abomination. I think it's, and you know what? The reason I think that is very important is not just because I value those skills, but I think that plays a big part in people's own sense of self, their capability, their confidence, their ability to move through the world. And no wonder so many people are anxious and stressed because I'm driving my automatic car with the self-dippy headlights on it, and I hear a funny noise and a wheel falls off and I don't know what to fucking do.
Well, I do. You just call the number and they come fix it for you.
Yeah. And you're in a spot where there's no mobile coverage, which still exists here in Australia on the major highways, funnily enough. There's a black spot between Toowoomba and Brisbane. Actually, there's a couple. It's ridiculous. I can be talking on the phone and it's just like, oh, there's no phone call anymore.
No.
I guess I'll just dial up again.
Dial again.
I think it's a conspiracy to get us to pay more bloody connection fees.
Oh, that took a dip. Right. So do you think, I think it's a bit of a twofold thing here. I think we've forgotten to treat our children with a healthy dose of neglect. And I think that we've become a service-based community in which there's somebody to do everything for us and we rely on that.
I feel like that they're very closely related.
Mm.
Because if you neglect your child, they're probably going to figure out how to do it themselves.
That's the whole point,
so
is
we
it not?
Teach them to think, right? Mm. And we have so many ways in our modern life that mean we don't need to think. I don't need to think about anything. I don't even need to think about toilet paper for the groceries because I can sign up to a subscription and they just deliver another box of poo tickets to my front door.
Poo tickets, right. Nice.
Bog rolls. Date rolls. Anyway. It's a tradie podcast. Everyone knows what a poo ticket is.
I've never heard the term.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I don't need to think about that, right? And it's just, I feel like it's really lowering our broad capabilities as people. And I think that makes us softer, it's less resilient, less able to deal with stress, less able to deal with when things don't go right.
Yes.
When our business does go through a challenging period or our marketing strategy doesn't work, we fucking capitulate and it's the end of the world.
And that's really where we're trying to go with this, isn't it? It's the fact that we're constantly seeing trade business owners fail in one part of their business or another, and then they stick their head in the sand because they don't know how to deal with it or where to go or who to ask or what to do.
Hashtag preventing tradie business fails. Right. So, no, it's hashtag tradie business fails, isn't it?
Yep, because we all have them.
So Coxie and I want to prevent them rather than fix them. We don't want to be the fixy thing.
I want to be the naturopath of the tradie world.
Well, I'm going to challenge you on that, Coxie.
Of course you are.
Naturopaths are still very much about treating, right?
Oh, yes. That's not my experience, but I understand where you're going.
So most people that see a naturopath for what reason?
Because there's an issue.
Yeah, because something's broken, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if on the health analogy, we were researching and reading and learning about ways to prevent that ill health or dis-ease in the first place?
Yes. Yeah, so
you wouldn't need to see a naturopath, right?
No, but what would your title be?
You'd be a preventional medicine therapist or something. But see, it's not sexy, is it?
No.
Everyone wants a quick fix. No one wants to do the fucking work because they drive an automatic car and they have
they called someone to dip
self-dipping headlights, right? They got a monkey on the dashboard that does it for them.
Right. So I guess my naturopath term is my shortcut to saying
I get what you're saying.
More yeah. preventative.
I just wanted to be a dick and challenge you on it.
Because it's Friday and that's what you do.
That's right. Because I'm...
Which is not restricted to Fridays, by the way.
You know what, Coxie? I just had an epiphany.
Another
if I
one.
Could say it. I'm making you better by disagreeing with you.
Oh, you do. You're improving my arguing techniques yes. every time I see you.
No, I'm making you think better.
The way you want me to think?
Yeah, I'm making you think like me.
Like a
perfection.
Gonna let that one go. That can go to the keeper, thanks.
But I see this on social media. People have lost the ability to have a robust conversation, otherwise known as an argument, without needing to be checked into a friggin' mental facility and counselled for 3 months.
I agree.
Just because I said, Coxie, I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Mm.
And you go wailing off down the hallway in an emotional wreckage.
What the listeners can't see is that I actually have a basket full of tissues next to me. Because I can't cope with what's paying out on me.
I thought it was a basket because you're a basket case.
No, you're the basket case.
Yeah, no, you're the basket case. No, you are. That's very adult, isn't it?
I know.
Anyway, I agree with you, Coxie. We should neglect our children more.
Yeah, with a healthy twinge. But what happened to, you know, let's be really frank. As a mother with a child that has hurt himself so many times, the solution, the very easy solution is to stop the kid from playing sport because all but one happened playing sport.
Yep.
The very easy solution is to take that away. Don't do it anymore. Wrap you up in cotton wool. Never happens again. I don't have to deal with that stress. You don't need to deal with that stress. We all get on.
Hang on. Who doesn't have to deal with that stress?
I don't.
Yeah. That's the key, isn't it?
Yes.
We've actually become all about ourselves as parents.
Oh, my God.
Because we don't want to deal with the stress of seeing our child hurting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is we're being very selfish in that space.
Very much.
I went through this with my daughter back when you know, the family was still together, with learning to ride a bike, right? Now, I'm sure everyone has a story about learning to ride a bike, and anybody who's, you know, over 30, I'm just taking a guess here, probably did it the way I suspect you did it, the same way that I did it. Is there was a bike and you got on it and you had a crack and you fell off and you did that a bunch of times until you wobbled along the road and went, I don't want to fall off this fucking thing again because it hurts like hell. So I learned to ride a bike.
That's right.
In an afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And now we have, you know, we start with the handle on the back and then we progress along the three-wheel trike thing with the handle on the back so the parent steers it around. And then you progress from that to, you know, something with trainer wheels. And then
you got to have the balance bike in between.
Oh, yes, the balance bike. See, the balance bike is good, though.
It is good.
Because they fall over.
It is good.
If you're not moving and it teaches really good balance. So I like that. Right?
I do agree.
So I got my kid a balance bike when she was very little. Mm-hmm. And she nailed it, right? Because kids learn balance and stuff really quickly. They're developing all the physical senses and the synapses and all that crap. And then it was from there to a pedal bike, right? And, of course, you can't buy one without fucking trainer wheels.
No, they're everywhere.
And so I took the trainer wheels off and then blued with my ex-wife about it because she thought that was unreasonable and hard, and just because that's how I learned how to ride a bike didn't mean that it was the right way. And so, unfortunately, we split around the time that my daughter was learning to ride a bike. And so the trainer wheels went back on in my absence.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter rode around with trainer wheels. Great. Of course you can ride with fucking trainer wheels. The bike doesn't fall over.
No.
But she's not learning to ride a bike. She's learning to ride a trike.
That's right.
So I had her come stay with me at my parents' house in the midst of all the divorce.
Of course.
The bike came with.
Yes.
The trainer wheels went off. She learnt to ride in an afternoon.
I reckon nailed that it. Your daughter is going to have an automatic license too.
Oh, don't even go there.
See, that's exactly what we said.
Don't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to think about that. I've got 10 years to worry about that.
Can I tell you those 10 years go real quick?
Yeah, thanks very much. But it is, you know, and her mother has an automatic license. Never, ever took the opportunity to get a manual license.
Okay, so this is the question I always ask. If the builder falls off the roof and breaks his leg and we need to get him to hospital, how are we going to get there if there's only one car?
Ring 000.
Yeah, but it might not get there for hours. Will
come. Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Mm.
And it doesn't really matter because 000 does come and he will be fine.
Mm.
And that's why I say I think that, you know, I think the loss of some of those, I don't know, they're not fundamental skills, but I think they're very important in just building our own sense of self and identity and independence and capability. You know, you look at how capable and resilient are we to deal with whatever comes up. And I think it plays into the whole, I can do this, I've got this, I can sort this out. Even if I've never seen that scenario before. And like my wife is, this sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but my wife is constantly amazed at my willingness to look at anything. It could be an issue with the computer software or the marketing funnel, or how am I going to cut a miter join to make a desk? I mean, we're sitting at a desk that I made.
You're tooting your own horn.
And just figure it out. You know, how to put that bevel edge on with a router.
Mm.
Like, I'm not a chippy or a tradie, but I was taught to figure stuff out and I was taught that I could because I learned how to ride a fucking bike in an afternoon by having a go.
So that's where we're coming to. And how do we relate this to business?
But you got to have a go.
But is it as an employer you also need to let your staff have a crack?
Yes.
So this is something you and I talk about often.
Yes.
It's about stepping away from being in control and letting them sort it out.
And let people fuck it up.
Yeah.
In a controlled way with some boundaries and a bit of a safety net, because I'm not suggesting that you risk your whole business and you leave them in charge of the $1 million contract and they lose it and that makes you bankrupt.
Mm.
That's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But actually give people the opportunity to ride the bike without the trainer wheels. And you start them on a little bike and you keep an eye on them. And like I did, you know, I was trotting along behind Grace as she tootled down the hill on the grass so that when she fell off, because she was going to fall off, it had hurt, but she wouldn't, you know, take all of her skin off her arms.
Or break a bone.
Yeah. But we were out on the road that afternoon.
Mm.
Quiet suburban street.
Sure.
And I took her on the road. And guess what? She fell off on the bitumen and she cried her eyes out.
Of course she did.
And I felt like an arsehole.
Of course she did.
So I picked her up and I cuddled her and I said, that's okay. Let's get back on the bike. No, I don't want to get back on the bike. I'm like, no, you're getting back on the bike.
Mm.
And I stuck her back on the bike and she remembered that for a long time after. Shit, I fell off and then I got back on.
Mm.
And that's one of those big lessons, you know, for your staff. It's like, I fucked that sail up, Warwick, and I lost the quote. It's like, yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you feel shit. And I'm pissed with you right now. Let's work together on how to make sure that doesn't happen again next time.
Okay, so if I take that into just what we do, the builder, one of the boys has started doing some holiday work with the builder, something I said we'd never do, but we've done. Somebody suckers. Wants to go to school, so he's got to find a way to earn some money. But my point being, this kid... He's a pretty confident kid, but he can, like everybody, has moments where when he's doing something he hasn't done before, he struggles.
This is the Eshe, isn't it?
No.
No, different kid.
The Eshe is just trouting around the house in his nice clothes.
All right.
Checking himself out in the mirror.
Getting soft.
You know, he listened to that episode. We never spoke about that.
Oh, really?
Yep. He wasn't offended. He was actually quite proud of himself and he loved being talked about.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Right.
Good thing we don't use any names.
So other son, or they all know who they all are.
Yeah, yeah.
Other son, I think they were doing some architraves or maybe some skirting, but he cut the measurement wrong. He cut the wrong side of the measure. Typical mistake. I've done it 100 times myself.
Yes, I've been yelled at for that too.
Well, he didn't. I'm really lucky in that the builder probably had a pretty tough time of it when he was an apprentice and now doesn't want to do the same thing to our kids when they do come to work.
Yep.
So very kindly made him go and cut another piece, even though the kid was saying, no, I'm not doing it. I've ruined it. I've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed him. Well, he never made another mistake that day. Sure, he went back the next day and made a different one.
Sure.
But he learned a lesson. It's the same thing you're saying with the bike. You've got to get back on. You've got to push them. It's hard to do as a business owner. It's hard to do as the carpenter with your apprentice or the plumber with it. It doesn't matter what trade you're in. It can be really hard to let them make a mistake or to breathe through the mistake, acknowledge the mistake, and move on. So the key thing, I think, to what you said is making them take ownership of that mistake, making them understand, yeah, you have made a mistake. I'm not particularly happy about it, but we're going to figure out a way so it doesn't happen again.
Rather than yell at them, tell them that they're a useless piece of shit and I told you how to do that and why the fuck didn't you listen to me the first time? Because then you just completely destroy any confidence that you might have built up in that person.
That's exactly right. I feel like most people of our generation, which is, you know, 40-ish.
Speak for yourself.
I'm younger than you.
I'm 32.
Well, that makes me 25. But most people of our generation have experienced those occasions where we're spoken to like that, where it's all stripped away.
Yeah. And it's damaging.
It doesn't help.
Right? It tears down confidence and everything. It's counterproductive. And the thing is, I think our generation maybe misconstrued it a bit and went, you know what? That didn't work, so I'm not gonna let people fail because that was the problem.
I agree.
But the problem was how we our mentors missed the opportunity to turn failure into a positive.
Agreed.
And to actually build on that. And there's even a book in my bookcase behind us here called Failing Forward. I can't remember who the author is, but there's a line in a Boy and Bear song which I love.
This is the second time we've spoken about Boy and Bear today.
Yes, it is. I have a no, I don't, it's not a band crush, but I like their music and I like some of their lyrics. Crush. I got a couple of boy crushes. So there's a line in the song and they say, failure don't work if failure don't hurt.
Oh.
And I love that line. It's like, failure doesn't work if it doesn't hurt.
Mm.
And so you've got to lose. You've got to fall over. You've got to screw up your marketing. You've got to, you know, have someone take you to Fair Work. You know, you've got to have some relationship upsets. You've got to neglect your kids because that's the stuff that builds resilience and experience and confidence. And that all came from you driving a manual. Is that right?
I think we started there somewhere. No, it came from my mum.
Your tiny little story.
My tiny little
which
story.
Which has turned into another 30-minute episode.
It was tiny, but you hijacked it and asked the leading question. Oh. I'm sure you must have known the answer.
A bit of finger
one.
Pointing there, Coxie.
Was.
You just flat out blamed me.
I did.
I'm upset by that.
You'll get over it.
Yeah, okay, I'm over it. All right, if you want to join the conversation, or even if you don't, you should anyway. Don't be soft.
No, harden up.
Don't be a marshmallow. Go tell us what you think.
I'd like somebody to be honest and say that was shit, if they thought it was shit.
Go on. Have a shot at us. See how resilient we are.
Yeah, we could do with some more resilience training.
We can handle it. I did that once years ago on this podcast. I said, you know, any review is fine. Even if it's, you know, even if you get on iTunes and say, hate it. Worst podcast I've ever heard. And some smart ass actually went and did that.
You know what's funny about that is they listened to the whole episode to get to that point in the first place. So, hello.
Sucked in. Phil's, what is it? Phil's jokes on you. That's it.
Jokes on you.
Yeah. So, but if you do have a story like that that you'd like to share, or you got some perspective for us, or some critical feedback, if you think it was shit, what's the best way to do that, Coxie?
Well, first of all, if you're my stepchildren, please don't get in touch. I already know.
Yeah.
And
don't need to be told again.
Because if they're listening to this, I'm going to cop it.
Whatever.
Well, it'll be nice.
Well, if my ex-wife listens, I'm screwed too. Or actually, she can't really do much worse to me. She's taking my daughter away.
No, she can't.
Anywho.
Let's not challenge that, though.
Yeah, no.
Then we'll have to go back to comparing whose problems are worse.
Yeah. Definitely yours.
You need to jump over to the group. Just come find us in the group and leave us a message in the group. And if you don't want to do that, you can go to the website, www.tradiesandbusiness.com.au. How good was that? And you can leave us this cool little voice message thing. We've had a couple now and I love them. I get so excited. And you just press a button and you talk at your computer. It records what you're saying. So you might press the button and say, Warwick, that was shit. Nicole's freaking awesome, but you were shit today. And press end and you send it through to us. And then I can rub it in Woz's nose.
And if you leave one like that, I'll actually play it on the podcast.
That would be so cool.
I'll stick it in a Fuck It Friday episode.
I would really like that. Please, somebody. I've got to have a fan out there somewhere.
Someone stick up for Coxie.
Somebody, please.
Go to the website, stick up for Coxie on the voicemail app, and I'll play it on a podcast. There's a promise and a commitment.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to do that, you can always email us.
Yeah, true.
Or DM us.
Yep. Or you can just harden up.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Same. Bye.
All right.
You've been listening to the Tradies and Business Podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesandbusiness.com.au.